Praise the Lord. I want to talk this morning about loving God. In Exodus 13, and we're not going there, but in Exodus 13, where the Ten Commandments are given, in the very second commandment, God has something interesting to say in the middle of it. Actually, it's every word of God is interesting, but he has something specifically pertinent to say in the middle of this. So instead of going to Exodus 13, we're going to go to Deuteronomy 5, where it's reiterated. Remember, the first commandment is, the Lord your God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Verse 8 is where the second commandment comes. It says, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. Stop right there. Right in the middle of the Ten Commandments, God says that an indication that you love me is that you keep my commandments. All through Deuteronomy it's mentioned, all through the Psalms, all through different places it's kind of tied together. That is an evidence that we love the Lord, evidence that we reverence the Lord. We keep his commandments. Now, we also know that in our flesh, in our own sin nature, in our own weaknesses, we can't keep all the commandments. We need Jesus. We need a Savior. Because Paul tells us in Romans that by the law is no one justified. We are told that if you break one part of the law, you have in effect broken the entire law. But Paul said, I would not have known sin except the law said, thou shalt not covet. You know, except the law told us. So part of loving God is keeping his commandments. But by ourselves, in our own fleshly nature, we fall short. Scripture says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. We need a Savior. We need a Jesus. And continue to need Jesus each and every day. He has taken him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, what the Bible says. So we know that we can go before the throne of grace having his righteousness because, as we sang the first song, before the throne of God above, it says, I think it's in the third verse, it talks about how the Father looks on Jesus and will pardon us. Looked on him and pardoned me. That comes from Isaiah 53, verses 10 through 12, where it says, when you claim his soul to be a sacrifice for sin, he, that is the Father, looks down and sees him, that is Jesus, standing in our place and is satisfied. Way back, in talking about the suffering servant, Isaiah prophesied that when we claim this suffering servant as a sacrifice for sin, what Jesus did on my behalf, I am imparted his righteousness because he has taken my sin. And the Father looks down and is pleased. Praise God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I was a messed up individual. I'm a messed up individual now, but I was messed up. But God has changed me, and God is continuing to work in my life and continuing to guide me. We're going on. Loving God. God tied the evidence that we love him in the very second commandment as evidence that an evidence that we love him is that we keep his commandments. In Romans 13, beginning with verse 8, Paul, talking to the Romans, says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Jesus said that if you hate your brother without a cause, you've committed murder in your heart. He says, if you looked on a woman with lust, you have committed adultery in your heart. Jesus is concerned about the condition of our heart. So we can go through just like the Pharisees. Well, I never did this and I never did that. And I never. But in my heart, if my heart is messed up, I'm messed up. And Jesus said, God is the one who looks on the heart. Also said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the wickedness that is inside is going to come out. Sometimes after serving the Lord for a number of years, we think we sort of kind of got a handle on this walking like a Christian thing. And then all of a sudden, just as silver and gold is refined, God will turn up the heat. He'll turn up the pressure. And all of a sudden, something comes out that you thought was dealt with. Guilty. Guilty. I need Jesus today. I need Jesus every day. Loving God is keeping His commandments. And when we recognize that we're falling short, is going back to the cross, going back to the altar. Not that we need forgiveness again. Jesus died one time. He forgave our sin, past, present, and future. But it's an acknowledgement of our need for Him. Each and every day, each and every circumstance, how much we need Jesus. Are we willing to submit ourselves to the cross? Are we willing to submit ourselves to the Lord? Lord, Your Word says, if I love You, I will keep Your commandments. I have fallen short. I recognize this weakness. Father, heal me, lead me, cleanse me. Search my heart. Know my ways. See if there is any wicked way in me. Praise God. In John 13, beginning with verse 34, Jesus talking before He ascended unto heaven, He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. If He just said love one another, that's cool. I can make my own definition of what love is. Phileo, brotherly love. I can be kind to people. I'm all right with that. But Jesus said, as I have loved you, that's the way you're to love one another. Jesus loved us with a sacrificial love, laid His life down for us. What are we doing to show that kind of love to the people around us? Jesus said, that's the new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So when that person gets on your nerves, cuts you off in traffic, gets in your way, do we say, bless them, Lord, and mean actually bless them? Or do we say, bless them, Lord, as in, get them, Lord, get them, Father? Sometimes I have a wicked heart. I need Jesus each and every day. I praise God I'm not the person that I used to be. I praise God for the journey He has me on. He's continuing to bring me on, and He's doing it in each of us. Scripture says we are refined as silver and gold are refined. Turning up the heat, turning up the pressure until the refiner looks down and sees his own reflection. Turn up that heat and turn up the pressure, and the ugly stuff comes up that it can be dealt with. Praise God, He hasn't left us in our sin. He hasn't left us where we were. He continues to call us to a closer walk, a closer experience with Him, that we might know Him more. John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Just as the Father laid it out in the Ten Commandments, that if you love me, you'll keep the commandments. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And this is after He said, a new commandment I give you, that you love others as I have loved you. Same chapter, verse 21 says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. We love Jesus. He says, we'll be loved by the Father. He's continuing to work in us. In 1 John 5, beginning with verse 1, John on the island of Patmos writing to the church and says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten by Him. Did you catch that? If we love God, we have to love God's people. We can't allow there to be division. We can't allow there to be division in our hearts separating us from somebody else, because they're begotten of God. They are God's people. They are God's children. We are called to love others just as Jesus loved us. That in the image of God, each and every person was created. Continuing on, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, that we love God and keep His commandments. There's that thing again. It keeps coming back to, if you're loving God, you're keeping His commandments. If you're loving God, you're continuing to review. If you're loving God, you're continuing to submit. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. It is not an effort. It does not weigh us down. It is a joy to keep the commandments of God. That is evidence that we love God. And as we struggle with that, and sometimes we strain at that, sometimes we have a hard time with that, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. Recognizing that in me, as Paul says, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. The good that I want to do, I don't seem to be able to do, and the bad things I don't want to do, I keep doing. Or as King James says, the good that I would, I do not, and that which I would not, that I also do. Twist your head around that a couple of times. This is the love of God, verse 3, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Lord, work in us to will and to do of Your good pleasure, as You have promised, as You have laid out in Your Word. God is the one who is able to make us to stand. He's able to the one who is able to keep us from falling. Different verses saying the same thing. God is the one who lifts us up. As we seek the Lord, as we draw close to Him, as we recognize that He is at work in our lives, we can give praise for the fact that He hasn't brought us this far to leave us here. He is still at work in us. He is still at work in me. I praise God. I grew up in a church. I left the church at 17 because I didn't know how to reconcile what I was hearing with the life I was living. And 16 years of not darkening at the church door until I finally stopped running from God. And praise the Lord, now I've been serving Him much longer than I ran from Him. Yet, I don't have to wear a veil like Moses did after spending so much time in the presence of the Lord, because the people couldn't look at him. I still need Jesus every day. But praise God, I'm not that person that I used to be. Praise God, He has touched me, He has changed me, He has worked in me. And He's doing the same in each and every one of us, to draw us closer to Him, to show us His way, and to show us His love. Deb, skip the next scripture and go to Malachi 3. In Malachi 3, before verse 16, God is talking about the priest bringing polluted offerings. He's talking about not accepting those offerings from his hand. He's talking about, he's rebuking them, and he's using the prophet to share that God is going to basically mess up their day. But we get down to verse 16, Malachi 3, verse 16. And it says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name. Every time we meditate on the name of the Lord, it's written in a book. God is paying attention to the things that go on in our lives. He's paying attention to our thoughts. He's paying attention to our heart. And as we come before Him, as we meditate on His name, as we think of all the things God has done, it is written in a book of remembrance before the throne of God. Verse 17, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On that day I will make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his son, his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve Him. It says when we meditate on the name of the Lord, it is written in the book. And God says, you're mine, and I'm going to make you my precious jewel. Praise the Lord. God is doing wondrous things in our life. He's at work in our hearts. As we look on these, as we look in these scriptures, as we recognize that an evidence of loving the Lord is keeping His commandments, and as we examine ourselves, as we've talked about in past weeks, and spring cleaning, as we talked about last week, just examining the things going on in our lives and things we need to submit, we have this little bit of hope from Hosea chapter 6. If your Bible has headings under the different sections, this says a call to repentance. Hosea 6, beginning with verse 1, says, "Come and let us return to the Lord. Praise God. For He has torn and He will heal us. He has stricken and He will bind us up. After 2 days He will revive us, and a third day He will raise us up, that we may live in His sight. And let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established in the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth." It says, "Come and let us return to the Lord." You ever have God try and get your attention? You've done something wrong. You've done something foolish. You've done something sinful. You've turned your back on God. Maybe you're not listening when He's trying to tell you something. Maybe it's what we would consider a minor thing. But God says, "I've called you to be obedient. I've called you to walk in my ways. I've called you to love me." And He begins to put obstacles in your place. It seems like everything you put your hand to fails. Been there, done that. Come and let us return unto the Lord. Because the goal, as God is doing these things in our life, is to draw us back to Him, is to draw us closer to Him, that we might seek His face, that we might walk in His ways. Come and let us return unto the Lord. As we've gone through these scriptures, we recognize that an evidence that we love God is that we keep His commandments. And an evidence that we love Jesus is that we keep His commandments. And His final commandment Jesus gave us was that we love one another as He has loved us. And what areas are you falling short? And I don't need to know. I need you to take inventory. What areas am I falling short? What areas are each of us falling short? The answer is to come and let us return to the Lord. God has a plan and purpose for each and every one of us. He is at work in our lives. He has brought us through so many different things to bring us here. And because He's the one who directs our steps, because He's the one who guides us, because He's the one with a plan and purpose for our lives, He has not given up. The Bible tells us that the giftings and callings of God are without repentance. In other words, God does not change His mind on what He wants you to do. He does not change His mind about loving us. He does not change His mind about having a plan for our lives. The difference is whether or not we are obedient. Whether or not we will love the Lord enough to obey Him. Love the Lord enough to submit to Him. If you don't, I can tell you from experience, life can get hard. If you do, I can tell you from experience, life can get hard. But God's never leaves us nor forsakes us. God is right there with us, and God doesn't waste anything. Come and let us return unto the Lord. Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord God, for Your word. We thank You, Father, for Your call to seek Your face, the call to draw close to You, the call, Lord, to examine ourselves, the call, Father, to look at our lives in light of Your word and recognize, Father, that You love us, that it is not Your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You love us, and You're the one who is able to lift us up, to keep us from falling, lift us up after we fall. Where it says, "Though a righteous man fall 7 times, he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His mighty hand." Father, You are the one who lifts us up, picks us up, directs our steps, and guides us. You are the one who loves us, who pays attention to our very thoughts, pays attention to our words, and actually, Lord, gives us Your word and Your spirit that we might love others, that we might do what You've called us to do. You equip us. You make us able to do the things you've called us to do, Father. And Lord, we give praise for that. We thank You, Father, for Your grace and for Your mercy. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen.